Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Nerd Up, your best source for the latest and greatest from all things nerd. This week we got Steven.
Hello.
Asa.
Hi.
And for the first time, Ben Stein.
And I helped.
Actually, that's CJ Tatum. Yeah, the girls made a joke last week about girls taking over, and this is my goddamn show. So, men only, baby.
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed.
But I will say, have you guys noticed that me and Krista have never appeared on the same episode at the same time? Insert conspiracy theory here.
Asa, quiet. They're going to figure it out.
On their own.
The whole point of that joke was so they could figure it out eventually.
It's an alter ego.
You guys really think Krista goes on that many vacations? I mean, come on. How many people actually thought that?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
Asa's no much human. Prettier than Krista. So let's go ahead and get rolling on today's show. Start off with Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro. I always say his first name wrong.
Guillermo.
I know. I just always say it wrong. I didn't need a correction. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said it was wrong.
He knows it's wrong.
Anyway, no, I've also been told I look a whole lot like Del Toro. I know. It's crazy.
A little bit.
You're a big guy with facial hair.
Bingo.
So.
Oh, that's why Shannon and I are twins.
You are.
Yes.
Exactly. And Larry too, right?
God damn it. Yeah. All right, CJ is out for the rest of the show.
And Mike is off.
He's going home
in pieces. Just put him in a body bag.
But yeah, they Del Toro in an interview discussed that he and Kojima were actually working on their own project outside of Konami, which I'm pretty excited about because I was really bummed that Silent Hills got scrapped. I mean, just like everybody else that enjoyed PT and Silent Hill in general. So, yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on this one upcoming?
Of course, I'm going to be super excited about this.
I haven't seen this much emotion from Steven's face since we last talked about Metal Gear.
Del Toro's, like, I've been watching a lot of his movies. What was the one recent? Pacific Rim. I didn't think I would enjoy that movie as much as I did, so...
Why?
I don't know why.
I don't know why either. But him and Kojima, like, working on a project together, like, that's why I was excited for Silent Hills. I never played any of the Silent Hills games before, and Silent Hills just made me giddy. Like, I was super, super excited, and so hearing that they are actually continuing a project together... make me real excited.
I'm still stuck on why you thought you wouldn't enjoy giant robots fighting giant monsters in the ocean.
It's been done before.
I had to say,
Guillermo del Toro.
That's correct.
Have to say, I had a similar degree of like not sure if want when I first heard about it because I thought like this idea is too awesome to make a good movie. Like.
But, I mean, like, with modern technology and CG and everything else, like, I was actually super stoked about this movie.
Yeah.
Plus Del Toro.
Yeah. See, because I'm more on the pro Del Toro camp than Kojima, because I never really played Metal Gear Solid or any of the Metal Gear games. I never really played Silent Hill. I understand that those are all great games and, you know,
yeah,
it's just not anything I've ever really interacted with. But I fucking love Guillermo del Toro, and him getting paired with some sort of horror game, I was way on board, and it really just makes me want him to be able to do the movie he's been trying to do forever, which is the At the Mountains of Madness. No studio's willing to give him funding on it because they're dumb.
Yeah, so he's been slowly but surely trying to build up his own funding so he can produce it himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it happening anytime soon, unless this game just takes off like crazy.
Yeah.
But
what if the game is At the Mountains of Madness?
I mean, it could be. I could see him doing that, like finally giving up on a film adaptation, making a video game version.
I don't know. It's something he's been wanting to do for so long now.
Right.
That I don't think he would just be like...
Change
I don't think medium. I don't think a consolation prize is going to be good enough for him.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that goes for a consolation prize. But yeah, I'm also in a similar camp with Kojima Games. I actually did play Silent Hill 2 and 3, but as far as Metal Gear goes, I played the GameCube remake of Metal Gear 1.
No.
And
no. You don't do that.
And see, I wasn't aware until recently that that's why I haven't played any other Metal Gear game. because the GameCube remake was some kind of awful. Like, there were cool parts to it, and the story was kind of neat, but in general, yeah, it wasn't very good. Also, I didn't have a PlayStation 2, which really... Well, I did eventually, but by the time I had a PS2, I also had an Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it didn't really help matters there. But, yeah, I do eventually want to. It's just so many other games.
Well, so. I do know that if you have a video game, and the two people who are in charge are Hideo Kojima and Benicio del Toro. Or not Benicio del Toro, Guillermo del Toro. Sorry. Huh. If those are the two head honchos of a video game, it's going to be maximum weird and maximum scary.
Yeah.
That sounds like a working recipe to me.
It does, and that's why I was really excited for Silent Hills. But yeah. Now it's gone. And
I'm excited for the soup that they make.
Well, plus they didn't say they were going to do a horror game. So
I hope they do.
You have to kind of assume, though, it's going to be like a spiritual... successor. Not even successor, because the first one got scrapped, but it's going to be kind of an extension of what Silent Hills was going to be, just maybe not within that universe.
Right.
Which other than, like, Pyramid Head, and again, like, I haven't played any of these games, so I don't really know, but is there really an overarching, like, mythos that it's very important that this happens in Silent Hill?
But nothing they couldn't easily transpose into something else without copyright error.
Okay.
But yeah, Pyramid Head is really their big, like,
he's the big thing. I know he's like the big bad from at least two of the games, so
yeah.
Unless I'm wrong, isn't Silent Hill the town that people get sent to if they've done something horrible and they have to, like, get over their, like, self-torture for it?
The whole games are basically, like, them self-torturing themselves, I think.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, all the monsters are, in like...
are things that they create.
Projection, yeah, or projections of some form of guilt or...
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, no, they... kind of. But, like I said, it's not going to be anything that would be difficult to transpose into something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I could see them basically taking all of their ideas from that and putting it into a different universe that doesn't require all of the Silent Hill mythos.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I'll miss the creepy nurses. I was going to try not to do that all the show, but that fucking sinus infection, I can't help it. Anywho, moving on to big black dudes. Yeah, Tyrese Gibson.
don't give me that look, Lisa. That's where you were going.
Tyrese Gibson confirmed that he's been in talks with Warner Brothers about playing Jon Stewart in the upcoming Green Lantern Corps movie, which is pretty cool. It's been rumored up till now, him and Chris Pine starring in the new movie. But this is the first bit of confirmation we've got that he's at least been in talks with WB. So, thoughts?
Well, and for those like me that had to Google who Chris Pine was, he is the new Captain Kirk in the Star Trek movies.
Correct.
Which I think he'll do a good job as Hal Jordan. Every time I think Jon Stewart in the Green Lantern Corps, I think of older, grizzled, like Marine Jon Stewart. And Tyrese Gibson is an entirely too attractive man to get that same vibe. Unless they're and like they could be going like a different route with him, but like the version of Jon Stewart in my head is not Tyrese. Idris Elba would have been the like him like him actively lobbying to be Jon Stewart, I think would have been a way better choice.
Yeah. Like Jon Stewart traditionally is supposed to be, you know, he's out of the Corps and now he's working as an architect. And that's who he is. You know, that's what he does. He's out of the Corps. He's an architect. He's older. Tyrese Gibson does look a little bit too young to have that in his backstory. But they could be doing a younger version of Jon Stewart that's still in the Corps.
Well, yeah, like, I imagine the way they're going to do this, the way they're going to set the movie up, Hal Jordan has been Green Lantern for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they pick up Jon Stewart. So Jon Stewart should be fresh to the Corps as of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Maybe do more of a Jon Stewart origin story than a Hal Jordan.
Right, yeah. Because they already tried the Hal Jordan origin story.
And it didn't, really.
And I'm kind of okay with, it seems like, because I want to say this is going to work into the Justice League movie that they're eventually going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this will work into it a little bit just because, like, I kind of like that they're not trying to do so many origin stories. Like, for example, Batman. Like, Batman v Superman is actually Batman's first appearance in the Warner Brothers Justice League universe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already been at Batmaning for 20 years. So he's already, you know, an established character.
20
so
years sounds like a really long time to me, though.
I mean, it kind of is, but it really depends on when he started. I mean, if he started at 17 like or 18 or even 20, like he's not that old, especially for Bruce Wayne logic.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, for Bruce Wayne logic, he's younger than all of us still, even after 20 years of Batmaning. Or at least he's in better shape than all of us. But anyway, I could see them going that route. Like, Hal Jordan's already an established character. There's already been, like, a backstory set up for Hal Jordan in a terrible movie.
Watching that movie, you just have to get the feeling that Ryan Reynolds was the only person who had any sort of affinity for the source material. Because he gave a good performance.
Yeah.
He just, you can only do so much with just utter crap.
Right. I would agree wholeheartedly, because I actually thought when they first cast him as Hal Jordan, I was thinking, perfect. Because Ryan Reynolds is like, he is two comic book characters. Mm-hmm. He is Wade Wilson, and he is Hal Jordan. Like, as a real human being.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really excited to see Ryan Reynolds cast as Green Lantern.
Because it made me think, oh, sweet, they're going to do sarcastic, just kind of, like, low-key douchebag Hal Jordan. Because that's my favorite Hal Jordan.
That's the best Hal Jordan. There's a reason that's your favorite.
Exactly, yeah. No, I'm sad because I killed everyone as Parallax.
That's the worst Hal Jordan.
No, Hal Jordan, no. Go back to playing pranks on Batman.
That's the
and
best
making
Hal
Batman
Jordan.
Hate you.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that version of Green Lantern. Just the one that's making fun of Batman all the time. And Batman's just like, motherfucker.
He's like, oh, you need help flying? Oh, why don't you just fly on over here, Bruce? Oh, what?
What?
Oh, my bad. Oh, here you go. Here's a ring. Or here's a bridge.
Hope I keep forgetting you're the only one of us with no superpowers.
Yeah. Hope I don't turn it off halfway across.
I like there was a slight segue. There was one of the DC animated movies. I think it was like Justice League War. That had a pretty fantastic scene where, like, Green Lantern sees Batman for the first time. And he's just like, Batman, you're real? And then, like, he basically after a series of conversations, he figures out that it's just a dude in a bat suit. And Green Lantern starts making fun of him. And then the next scene, like, Batman's holding his rings. Like, so what's this do? So, I guess it's powered by concentration. Am I getting that right? Yeah. And then, like, you look back at Green Lantern, and he's back in his flight
he's
suit
just
now.
Hal Jordan. He's just like, Hal Jordan's what? Like,
how'd you do that?
Motherfucker.
He pulls the ring back. He's like, don't do that again. Unless I want to. Away. That was such a great scene. But yeah.
I also like the exchange in that same movie where he's like, Bats, you're about a few degrees south of normal, aren't you? And he just kind of looks back at him like, your powers come from a ring. My powers come from a suit. I think we're the two closest things to normal on the whole team. He just jets off.
He's not wrong.
No, he is not wrong. But yeah, that was a great movie. Justice League War, if anybody's looking for a good Justice League movie with a...
Really good.
Really, any of those DC animated movies. We could do a whole show on that because DC has been killing it in the animated movies.
Like Assault on Arkham is like... like
Batman and
Batman
Son,
movies.
Like all the Batman movies that they've put out.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight ones were great.
So good.
I thought it was a good idea. Like I wasn't really on board until I saw them. That I was like, why would you split them into two movies? Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, it makes total
sense. Sorry, I doubted
you,
sir. Please just continue.
And you can honestly watch like either movie independently of the other and be perfectly content.
Yeah,
like they're solid movies. Like and Red Hood, that was a really good one.
That's my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite Batman animated one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
That and Mask of the Phantasm. Which those are the older ones, but like
right.
they've been doing some really good work.
Yeah, because I mean, that was back in the DC animated pages, and then the new Justice League Gods and Monsters. I'm looking forward to that one.
Next one coming up.
Yeah, that one's just a wholly original story by Bruce Timm, which it's pretty fantastic. All right, we need to get off of animated movies. So instead of talking about great movies, let's talk about a fucking awful movie.
Do we have to, Jesse?
Yeah, we have to because our listeners want it. They want it to
it's
happen.
It's our moral obligation.
Whatever.
As entertainers and news folk.
With
Pixels.
With okay microphones comes great responsibility.
Hey, one of these microphones is great. Shannon won't let me stop hearing about it.
And that's why my voice sounds so silky smooth today. Sorry, Shannon. Shout out to Shannon.
Shout out to Shannon. Anyway, Pixels came out in theaters last weekend. And boy, oh boy. Apparently, it is the biggest piece of trash to come out of Adam Sandler's playbook ever.
I've I don't know about ever, anymore? But it's
I've heard that it gave Jack and Jill a run for its money.
Yeah, it's because that one won him the Razzie for Best Actor and Best Actress.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Jack Worst and Jill actor. Is the movie where Adam Sandler plays himself. Well, not as himself, but he plays he plays a pair of twins, one male, one female, and it's literally just him in a wig and drag. Yeah. And he kind of makes his voice go a little bit higher, and that's about it.
Yep, and it's just, it's a whole pile of garbage, too.
Won him the Razzie for both Worst Actor and Actress.
Yeah, this movie Pixels actually, like, in concept was pretty good. It was great as a Futurama episode.
Part of a Futurama episode.
Sorry, yes. Yeah. 1/3 of a Futurama episode, to be accurate. It worked great there. I was thinking it could be pretty good on the big screen. You had Kevin James as President of the United States. Peter Dinklage was a former...
Yeah.
I want to know, what does Adam Sandler have on Dinklage?
I have no
Did
idea.
Did he see him, like, hit a hooker, like, and drive away?
I can only imagine,
Does he have a Hulk Hogan-esque, like, racial slur just on tape that he can put out anywhere? Why is he in that? He doesn't need to be in that movie.
Dinklage, I really want you to be in Pixels. I don't think I want to make this movie. And then he just puts a cassette tape down on the table and stares at him.
I mean,
you know what's on this. Fine.
Dinklage and Josh Gad?
Yes.
He doesn't need to be in that either.
No.
He's in that show with Billy Crystal that I've heard is really good. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. He was I didn't know this, but he was the snowman in Frozen.
Yes. So yeah, he's still made every time.
So that dude's a jillionaire.
Yeah, every time somebody puts out a little fucking Olaf doll, like, dude gets like a buck. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, 5 million of those later. Anyway, yeah, I don't understand why Peter Dinklage was in there. Maybe he saw the script and thought, this could be as successful as Knights of Badassdom. Which, if you guys haven't seen, is a great movie with Peter Dinklage.
But there's a very big difference in that movie and this movie.
Well, absolutely.
Because that movie is made by people who really care about the things that they're referencing. They're not basing entire jokes on, hey, look, it's Donkey Kong. You know Donkey Kong, right? Are you laughing?
What about Q-Bert? You guys like Q-Bert, right? He was in that Wreck-It Ralph movie. He was kind of popular there. Q-Bert? Q-Bert? He peed himself. That's funny.
I always had the feeling that the movie was just going to end up being an hour and a half or however long it is of just, hey, us gamers, right? We know about these references.
I mean,
you know these characters.
I honestly truly think that Adam Sandler has truly won at life.
Oh,
basically, all of it, he puts out a movie,
he can make whatever movie
about
he wants.
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly low budget. He travels to exotic places, or I guess in this case, New York City, but other places that have been nice. With all of his friends, they record a movie, throw it together, and it makes money every year.
And that's just their job, is they hang out, they make a terrible film, and he's like an awful Seth Rogen.
Or I've heard him described as the white Tyler Perry.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He kind of is. He kind of is the white Tyler Perry.
You know when you have like a paradigm shift, and you just kind of like everything, like
I feel like,
like I see colors brighter now.
like I feel like I just watched The Matrix for the first time.
Oh, they should have made sequels to those movies.
It would have been great if they did.
What if they turned Neo just into like Robot Jesus?
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, good thing they wouldn't do that.
Good thing they wouldn't do something.
Speaking
that
of terrible
stupid.
Ideas, fucking Pixels. Why?
Fucking Pixels. I really don't understand why. Like, that could have been a good movie. It wasn't. It was awful from beginning to end. Like, I heard not a single good thing about it.
Have any of you guys seen it?
I haven't.
No,
yeah. So none of us have seen it. We just know, like, we're just basing this all on just reviews and like, trailers. Because the trailer looks awful.
I mean, just the trailer alone made me not want to watch the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the trailer didn't
make
me laugh.
It's just the exact opposite of what that trailer's supposed to do.
Exactly. Like, it was one of those things. I watched the trailer and I was like, thank you, trailer. You have saved me $10. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Pixels was the pandering to quote-unquote gamer culture cash grab that I thought Wreck-It Ralph was going to be before I saw it and found out that it was amazing.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph was really good.
That was a great movie.
But that's what I thought about Wreck-It Ralph before I saw it. I thought it was just going to be like, hey, there's a comic book. I mean, there's a video game character you like.
I have more
like
faith
our movie.
I have more faith
Nerds.
In Disney than
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, for sure.
No.
And IGN actually This will be a fun little topic here. IGN put out a top 10 list of Adam Sandler movies. Because as most of you probably know, Adam Sandler wasn't always awful. At one point in time, he made great movies.
See, I guess I've never seen those movies.
There are a couple that you really should see. Like, if you've never seen Happy Gilmore, no.
Okay, Happy Gilmore is just a legitimately great comedy.
I love that movie. I can watch that movie over and over again, happily. Mm-hmm. It's so good. But let's check out this top 10 list from IGN and see what we think about this one. Number 10 was Hotel Transylvania.
I actually kind of like Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I also didn't know he was in that.
He was Dracula. He was Dracula.
Huh. Yeah. And actually, it's his normal cast. Like, Seth Rogen is in it. Seth Rogen's in it. Kevin James is in it. They've got, a lot of his normal cast is in that movie, like his voice actors. That one actually I thought was pretty good. I enjoyed that movie. They've got a sequel coming up. It's probably not going to be near as good, but it does have Nick Offerman and his wife.
Yes.
Megan Mullally, I think is her name.
Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
Megan Mullally. Yeah, so Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman are going to be in that movie. So that's kind of cool because I'm a huge Nick Offerman fan.
You should be.
Yeah, because that's the correct choice.
Everyone should be.
I love Nick Offerman. Number 9, Big Daddy. I actually rewatched this for the first time. They recently added it to Netflix, and I haven't seen it since like the early 2000s. And I actually kind of enjoyed it rewatching it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad movie. And I didn't know Jon Stewart was in it.
Yeah, briefly. Like he's not a huge.
No, he's not a huge character by any means.
They kind of shoehorn in that plot twist thing at the end with him, but.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, and I think it'll be a recurring theme, especially like because we've already talked about like what the top few movies are. The movies where he's not like being just a ridiculous over the top character, he's not a bad actor, and they're not bad. Like his best movies are the ones where he's just kind of a guy,
right?
So like in Big Daddy, he's just kind of a guy. Like all of his characters kind of have the same Adam Sandler anger issues type thing, but like Happy Gilmore, he's a guy. You know,
yeah.
I have a feeling we don't know the full list, but I'm gonna take a wild guess and say Little Nicky's not on there.
I spoiler alert, you might be right. we'll go ahead and go on to number 8. I actually haven't seen this one, and I always meant to, because the premise sounded really cool. Rain Over Me. That was the movie he started with Don Cheadle, where he played a... he was repressing a set of memories. He was Don Cheadle's roommate in college, and basically he just had a really shitty life up to the point where they depart and reunite. And, yeah, I think he might be homeless, and he's got some severe mental issues. It sounded interesting.
I've not even heard of that.
We can give the little synopsis they got here. Sandler returned to drama in 2007, starring opposite Don Cheadle in Mike Bender's story of two old friends who are reunited in post-9/11 New York. Sandler plays a grief-stricken man who lost his wife and children in the attack. He's completely shut down emotionally and regressed to a seemingly carefree life, much like his college years, mostly playing PS2 and watching movies while refusing to face his demons. The movie won generally positive reviews, and Sandler received further acclaim for his dramatic skills. Mm. So yeah, I always meant to see that movie because it actually sounded really good. I just never got around to it, I guess. Maybe I'd need to check out the rental shack and see if I can find it. Because I know it's not on Netflix. Number 7 was Funny People. Another movie that I actually liked.
About the guy with...
He played... One. Basically himself under a different name, where he was diagnosed with cancer and he thought he was going to die. So he's hanging out with Seth Rogen and they are, you know, he's doing stand-up. He's trying to get back into stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of jokes about some of like the shitty movies he's produced, which ended up foreshadowing his life in general.
Yeah.
Like if you go back and watch that, several of the movies that show up in like his films end up becoming movies.
He kind of was like, you know what? That's not a bad idea, actually.
Exactly, because this came out in 2009.
What if I played the guy and the girl?
That's one of the movies described in Funny People.
Of course it is.
So, like, it's really funny. And yeah, that was in 2009, so it was before, you know, his string of shitty movies. 50 First Dates. That's not bad. Classic. Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm assuming everybody at this table has seen 50 First Dates, correct?
I've heard of it.
God.
Tim and Drew Barrymore.
I have seen it.
Yeah, Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore plays the part of a girl that can only remember 24 hours at a time. As soon as she goes to sleep, wakes up, it's like she's gone back, can't remember anything for the last day.
Well, she remembers. She
had an accident.
Yeah. And so, they were together, and then there was the accident, and so she remembers, growing up and, her family and that kind of thing. It's just she doesn't really remember this relationship with Adam Sandler. And so every day, it's, 50 straight days of him trying to win her over all over again.
Yeah, because he meets her for the first time and falls in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the movie takes place in, 2003, and she can't, to her, it's still, I don't even remember what day. It was, something in 1998 or 1999 was when her accident happened. So to her, it was still then. It's still, the late 90s, and it's actually, this time. So Adam Sandler goes, reintroduces himself, and causes her to fall in love with him again every day of her life. And, it's actually a pretty adorable movie. It's,
you know, that's not a fictional illness.
Correct. Yeah.
There's a lady somewhere. She has her own separate bedroom from her husband, and her bedroom is littered with notes and photographs of her in the intervening time between her accident and present day. And she has a VCR and a TV set up right in front of her room, and the note on the VCR says, "Play this tape before you leave this room." And it's a 30-minute tape with footage of their life in the intervening time.
That's pretty much the last bit of 50 First Dates, too.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's just she has to go through this primer of what happened since her brain got messed up every morning.
That's basically the end of 50 First Dates. Yep. Thanks for the spoiler, CJ.
The movie came out when?
2004.
Spoilers?
Yeah,
11 years.
So number 5, The Waterboy. So I'm assuming everybody's seen The Waterboy.
No.
That's the documentary of Nate Smith's life.
Nate Smith.
Minus football.
Yes. Yes, it is a documentary.
I don't think Nate listens to this show. It's fine. He doesn't like me.
It's a documentary on his life.
Yeah, no, basically, Asa, you're giving me these shrugs and these mean glares. Is that because I brought up Nate Smith? Or
if he finds out that I even mentioned his name, he's going to send me an angry Facebook message because I insulted him, so I'm just not going to talk about him at all.
You have a block on Facebook, don't you?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
It's probably going to happen.
Well, you got time, Nate. but anyway, yeah, the Waterboy, for those of you that haven't seen it, it's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies. I don't care how fucking stupid it is.
Oh, yeah, it's real dumb, but it's fun dumb.
I enjoy it. Basically, Adam Sandler plays the part of a kid who was homeschooled by a woman who had no business homeschooling him, calling everything...
The devil!
The devil.
Mama want Nintendo. You can't get a Nintendo? Nintendo is the devil! Played by Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Played really well by Kathy Bates.
Oh, she's fantastic. So well, everything she plays is played well, because Kathy Bates is amazing.
That's really true. She was the best part of the most recent season of American Horror Story.
I still haven't seen it.
The Coven? That's the one she's in, the witch one.
Oh, yeah, she was actually the best part of that. I thought you meant the carnival one.
I forgot that one happened.
Yeah.
So to me, the most recent season is The Coven, because that's the one on Netflix.
That's true. That's kind of how I live my life as well. So,
yeah, no, The Coven, she was the best part of that season of American Horror Story, which was, it was too feel good. Anyway, Waterboy. Waterboy was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I honestly recommend watching that one, Steven. It's pretty good. Get you a whole list of Adam Sandler movies.
It's just going to be 5 of them, so you can knock it out in a day.
That's pretty true.
Gotcha.
Number 4 is Billy Madison.
I have seen that one.
Also very good to me.
I actually have seen that one.
So, yeah, I mean, I think anybody who enjoys any sort of comedy.
I have the same problem with Billy Madison as I do with The Waterboy. And it's not, I love both of those movies. It's just when he plays that kind of ridiculous man-child character, it's harder for me to really get into. But then there's a lot of really solid writing that goes into it. So a lot of those jokes kind of really hit, and so it kind of brings me in.
Yeah, and that's definitely true of Billy Madison at the very least.
And Billy Madison has a fantastic villain.
Yes.
I can't remember his name. But the actor's name or the character's name, but just him and his little sidekick who's totally on Billy's side, the taller guy, it plays so well because he's not wrong. He's like, they want to put this multi-million dollar corporation in the hands of someone who hasn't completed grade school.
Yeah. Or, well, he has, but his dad
paid his
all
way
of
through
his grades.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has to go all the way back through school, and some parts of it are a little ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The drunk scenes are fantastic, particularly anyone featuring the penguin. I love the penguin so much. But and then that also features the famous "you ain't cool unless you pee your pants."
Yeah.
Peeing your pants is the coolest.
And I'm Miles Davis.
Peeing your pants is cool, and I'm Miles Davis.
So hot. Want to touch the hiney. Still use that today.
It's so good. And that's the kind of Adam Sandler I like.
The strip trivia with Chris Farley. Yes. That is correct.
Oh, Chris Farley.
Zip.
He's like, Adam Sandler's like, he's still kind of smiling, but like, I wish I'd gotten it wrong. Number three, Punch Drunk Love.
Haven't seen it.
It's interesting. Adam Sandler plays a guy with like extreme anger issues. Mm-hmm. He was basically like harassed by all three of his sisters. All of his life. It's an interesting movie.
Yeah, and it's also it would be more of a drama or like a black comedy even.
Oh, because
there are some like funny parts. But it's definitely not meant to be a comedy. And that was kind of one of his... I feel like that's one of his first, like, real breakaways. Like, it surprised a lot of people because he'd only really been doing Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Big Daddy, and then he kind of broke away with this, and it took a lot of people off guard.
And I remember back in 2002, like, a little 14-year-old me was really confused.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I had been watching Adam Sandler movies and, you know, stuff like Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, and all like, that stuff. And then I see Punch Drunk Love, and I'm like, what is happening? Where's the funny? Get with the funny! Adam! And it never really came. Like, there was a couple of scenes. Oh, and, of course, The Wedding Singer coming in at number two.
One of my mom's all-time favorite movies.
It's such a good movie.
Still haven't seen The Wedding Singer.
How?
I don't know.
Drew Barrymore again?
Yep. Yeah, Drew Barrymore plays a few roles in his movies. But, it's actually solid movie. Basically, at the beginning of the movie, he gets dumped at the altar, I think, doesn't he?
He gets stood up at the altar.
Stood up at the altar, that's right. And he is a wedding singer by trade, so he has a band that he plays at weddings. So, the very next wedding he has to play...
Does
not go well.
Oh.
And it's just a great movie. It's really funny, just really enjoyable all around.
Mm-hmm.
And some great 80s Sandler.
Yeah, and it's because it's based in the 80s. Like, it takes place in, like, 85 or 86 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's got a lot of 80s nostalgia, kind of.
And I think it was released in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. Adam Sandler has a mullet, and it's curled. It's great. And number one, of course, is Happy Gilmore.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man, I love Happy Gilmore. That's such a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Price is wrong, bitch.
I'm looking at the website IGN has, and the image they have for Happy Gilmore is him getting punched by Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Did you? And to this day, it's even, like, it's respected as, like, probably his best movie, but I can't remember. It was some kind of, like, benefit. Like, the stars of comedy, like, it was something that they did for autism.
The Night of Too Many Stars.
There was a thing, it's like Adam Sandler's like, oh yeah, I wanted to be able to make it, I couldn't be there in person. And then Bob Barker is, like, waiting to do the next, like, pre-shoot interview. And they just go, and then it turns into just a full-blown fight scene between Adam Sandler and Bob Barker. And it's just so
Wasn't
good.
Bob Barker, like, in a hospital bed, just like,
yeah,
I'm under the weather, so I can't do... the show in person, but I'm live via satellite, and Adam Sandler just bursts in and starts beating the fuck out of him and still loses the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually how they got Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore. They told Bob Barker, like, you'll get to beat the shit out of Adam Sandler. And Bob Barker's like,
fuck yeah.
Down.
All right.
I'm there.
He had seen the future.
Yeah, he looked into the future and saw.
And saw Jack and Jill. Adam Sandler.
But Happy Gilmore, like, and he's like a legit, he's a great character because he's just this sweet guy. He cares for his grandma just so much.
Just a cool, down to earth guy. Like,
just happens to have a temper, like a lot of Adam Sandler's characters seem to. But, you know, everything he does is for someone else in that movie.
Right.
And so that really kind of comes across like, I mean, yeah, he has his hockey dream that he kind of realized, Chubbs. kind of convinces him that he needs to give up on. Yeah. Fucking Chubbs. Great.
Oh, God. Yeah, good old Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers.
Like, oh, yeah. Carl Weathers in that movie is the guy that...
Chubbs.
Yeah, I forget, yeah, I forgot what his name was.
Yeah, Chubbs Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Chubbs Peterson.
Yeah, no, that's...
He finally found the crocodile that took his eye or took his hand or whatever it was.
And it's really fun in a movie like that. You see exactly how big of a person Carl Weathers is. Because even at that age, he's gigantic. Still gigantic. Especially next to, like, Adam Sandler.
Speaking of gigantic in that movie, I can't remember his name, but the actor who played Jaws?
Yeah.
I
can't remember his name either. He played, like, his construction boss.
Yeah.
And he passed away a few years ago.
He did.
Which is really sad, because he was just that perfect, like, big, scary dude in the movies.
You're going to get on the green one too, Mr. McGavin? Well, that's impossible. Happy Gilmore did it no less than 2 hours ago. Oh, yeah, well, Happy Gilmore.
Because the dude was like 6'9", 6'10", something
giant
like
dude.
That. Giant dude, like heavy set. Like he's a slightly shorter Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Oh, look, Mongo can count. And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
That jacket belongs to Mr. Gilmore.
Yeah. And Shooter McGavin, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect name. Perfect just douchey villain.
Richard Keel was his name, and I recognize his face now.
Yep.
That guy.
He's so
Wait, he was actually Jaws.
Yeah. That wasn't just a joke.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke.
Okay. I thought Jaws was his name in the movie.
No.
No, Jaws was his name in the James Bond movies that he was in.
Shit. I thought...
You thought he was talking about the shark?
Yes.
I can see him in the big shark costume.
The actor that played Jaws.
It's like, I thought that was
an animatronic. I can see him at the craft services table trying to maneuver his fins around this coffee cup.
Candy Graham.
Candy Graham or Mongo.
It's the land shark.
Shit.
Land shark. Oh, you're so funny. There's no way the land shark would say land shark. Yeah, land shark. Open the door. Oh, it's the land shark.
Oh, and just briefly off topic, we don't have to turn it into a whole thing because I know we're towards the end, but the trailer for Spectre came out this week.
Yes.
I haven't seen that yet.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
It kind of falls into the thing that I don't like that a lot of movies do now where they put a lot of the plot in the trailer. So it gives quite a bit away, but I'm hyped. Oh, I'm so hyped.
Yeah, that was actually number two on that list that I forgot. I knew I should have went home and grabbed it.
Because I remember, because talking about Jaws, I was like, James Bond. Oh, Spectre. Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spectre trailer did release. I guess we're going to probably end up talking about that more next week because I meant to talk about it this week. And I was wondering why we had so much extra time because I plan on putting a lot of time for it, which is why we gave you guys the top 10 Adam Sandler. I hope you guys enjoyed that commentary. but yeah, that's a movie, that's a trailer that happened. It looks beautiful. More next week. The only other thing, I guess, we could talk about news that nobody cares about. The Nintendo TV's out as of August 11th. Anybody know what that is? No? Okay, that's fine. That's why it's gone.
And that's why it's canceled.
if you had a Wii U and you were using it.
So all 12 of you.
All 12 of you in the world.
I have a Wii U, and the most use I commonly get out of it is to use the gamepad as a remote for my TV.
I think all four of us at this table have a Wii U,
yep.
And none of us have ever used the Nintendo TV.
Nope.
I actually hadn't even heard about the Nintendo, like, I heard about
it
when they first announced it, back when I was working at GameStop, but I have completely forgotten about it at this point, and then I heard that it was going off, I was like, oh, that was a thing. Huh. Well, anyway. All right, guys, well, that's our show. I hope it was Adam Sandler-y enough for you. Asa, if you could give me your best water boy, and we'll close it out.
I don't know why you put me on the spot, and I haven't seen that movie in so long. My name is Baba Boucher. And...
That last part was the part I wanted. Executed perfectly. All right, folks, have a great night, day, whatever fits you.